Cable News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
What if notorious outlaws and lovers Bonnie and Clyde didn't die in a hail of gunfire in Louisiana in 1934? Well, that's the question our in-depth guests today, Clark Hayes and Kathleen McFall, ask and answer in their Bonnie and Clyde series of novels. The first book in the series, Resurrection Road, was published in May 2017, and the second book, Damn Nation, was just released a few months ago. Clark and Kathleen are a real-life couple who also write together, but as far as we know, they don't rob banks. We're fortunate to have both Clark and Kathleen live with us now in the KABU studios to talk about their new book in the Bonnie and Clyde series. Clark Hayes and Kathleen McFall, thanks very much for coming into KABU today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. It's an honor and a privilege.
Oh, Clark, let's start with you, since you were so nice. As mentioned in the intro, you and Kathleen are a couple in real life, in fact, going on 20 years of marriage, and you're a writing team. What's the process for working together on your books?
Well, it's an interesting process. It's sort of like trying to hug a tornado made out of barbed wire. Truthfully,
It's that difficult.
No, it's a great. I'm going to tell you a little story about how it all got started.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Oh no, go ahead, please.
We had a pretty fiery relationship about 20 plus years ago, and we had an equally fiery breakup about a year and a half into that. And so when we came back together, we decided we wanted to try something different this time and see if we could constrain some of that power and energy a little bit. So we said, well, we're going to make writing a novel a test for marriage.
And you guys were both writers previously.
We were both.
Kathleen, you were a journalist and you were a novelist. Or
well, I was a failed poet.
Oh, okay.
He was a cowboy poet, actually.
So I was living in Bend at the time, and Kathleen was living in Portland, and we started writing our first series of books together, The Cowboy and the Vampire Collection. And that was so long ago that we were mailing copies of chapters back and forth to each other.
Before email then.
Exactly.
Oh, my. It's hard to remember that. There was actually an era like that.
Exactly. In fact, we sketched out the plot line. We met in Madras, which at the time was neutral territory for the two of us, and sketched out the plot line in crayon on the back of a placemat at a truck stop. So that's how we started writing together. It's evolved quite a bit since then. We have a very great process. I will say this, writing together is probably the second most intimate thing a couple can do.
I won't ask you what the first is. But now, that first book you wrote when as an experiment, I guess, or trying to get you guys back together, working together, was called A Very Unusual Romance, and that was part of that series, the Vampire and the Cowboy series. Takes place, vampires living in the old American West. What inspired you to tell that story? How'd you pick that as your first work together?
I'm going to let Kathleen take a little stab at that. I'm just going to set the stage and say the theory at the time was we felt like it would be a great way to explore our own opposites attract relationship.
Right. That's exactly it. Clark and I are from wildly different backgrounds. I was raised in a very urban area, and Clark was raised in a very rural area, which was part of what we were trying to bridge by doing the writing together. So we selected a cowboy, which Clark was very easily able to write that voice, and we say vampire, which obviously isn't really me, but that's the most opposite thing we could think of for a cowboy at the time.
And that developed into a total of four books?
Four books.
Which are still available, I should tell people if they're interested in that. Now, I want to get to Damnation in the Bonnie and Clyde series. So just a few weeks ago, May 23rd, marked the 84th anniversary of the death in Bonnie and Clyde, the real Bonnie and Clyde, the historical one. I think most of us know about the event from the 67 film with Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, of course. Can you tell us what happened to that historical Bonnie and Clyde 84 years ago?
You mean what allegedly happened or what happened?
Yeah, allegedly. That's more interesting because so, apparently there's been a cover-up.
Yes, exactly right. So in the books that are the Bonnie and Clyde books, Damnation and Resurrection Road, posit that Bonnie and Clyde, in fact, were snatched from the ambush at the time, and they were used to be deployed as government agents in defense of the working class. So at the time, that was the 1930s when the New Deal was just getting underway and just gaining traction for those policies, and so the government wanted to use their skill set in behalf of ensuring that the evildoers who were trying to prevent the New Deal policies from going through would be they would be eliminated.
So and part of that is a historical fact, and part of that is a premise for the series. I should let listeners know who they're still looking for Bonnie and Clyde, I guess, to be shopping at Whole Foods or something.
No.
That's not going to happen. The real Bonnie and Clyde, though, died.
They did die.
In 1934 in Louisiana.
Shootout. It was a, some people call it a, there are a lot of people who feel that it was really more of a vigilante action than it was actually a police action. They were driving down a county road outside of Sales, Louisiana, and there were probably 30 or 40 people. I think that's the correct number in the hiding in the woods.
Well, there's five or six Texas Rangers.
Texas Rangers with some
automatic
others with
weapons,
them.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
Texas Rangers in Louisiana.
There was there was a massive manhunt underway, and they ambushed them. They believe that about between 100 and 150 bullets hit the car.
Oh, my.
And just riddled them.
They were
almost
truly,
unrecognizable
they were
mutilated. By the time they got there.
And there was pretty horrific stuff that happened after that as well with souvenir collecting and pieces of the car. And their bodies were taken back to Dallas where there were just, I think it's safe to say hundreds of thousands, if not almost that, were, which is a huge number for that era, were flocked to just see the bodies.
And, of course, they're still considered somewhat heroic or certainly of interest to us today, I think, mainly based on the movie and
what
we know of the history of the time of the 30s and the Great Depression.
The movie really cemented their image as as characters who were fighting against a rigged economic system, fighting against all these forces that were designed to kind of keep them down. And I think that's why they became so famous so quickly at the time and had social media been around, they went viral.
Right. And that was true with a few who we would call criminals today, Pretty Boy Floyd and
right.
a few of the other criminals of the era. They were like kind of anti-capitalists.
Absolutely. They were anti-heroes of the day. And when you really think about Bonnie and Clyde and the sort of the lifestyle the background that they came from, they were living in East Dallas at the time, East Dallas, Texas, which was the poverty levels there were just off the charts. And there really wasn't any hope of getting a decent job. In fact, a little known fact about Clyde, he tried to go straight. He had a couple of relatively straight jobs early on, but his initial brush with the law was for failing to return a rental car on time.
Oh, my.
He had rented a car to go pursue a young lady that he was interested in at the time. He didn't return it on time. That brought him onto the police radar. And after that, once you gained the notice of the police, you ended up in some pretty brutal conditions. And that's what happened to him.
Now, I should mention Damnation has a lot to do with not just the building of Hoover Dam. And that's the dam in the book's title. It was called Boulder Dam when it was first
right.
Constructed. It was also about the growth of the labor union movement in the U.S. as a response to the unrestrained capitalism of the time, which I think led to the Great Depression. And in the afterword of the novel, Clark and Kathleen, you talk about how the New Deal and our country's efforts to recover from the Depression led to the growth of labor unions. You also mentioned the decline of unions in the second part of the 20th century, and we're seeing it now. In fact, the Supreme Court decision just last week about public sector unions. What led to the golden age of unions, and what do you think led to the decline when you researched the book, Damnation?
Well, I'll jump in and let Kathleen correct me. I think we both have probably slightly different perspectives on this, but I think the unions in the 1930s, with the support of FDR and the New Deal, provided a necessary counterbalance to the sort of the influence of capital. And so organized labor was really the only force strong enough to stand up against capitalism run amok and the sort of the distilling of wealth into the few. My belief is that they didn't go far enough. The unions failed to sort of address the racial issues at the time. And I personally believe if unions had been a little bit more open to allowing, for example, African-American workers in, we'd be looking at a different story now. The unions and that support from the government that they enjoyed at the time led to, I think, sort of an era of economic prosperity, short-lived, But the forces of capital, I think, have been working to undermine that those regulations ever since, and they've done a pretty convincing job of making unions seem like they're preventing people from working, when in fact what they're doing, sometimes incompletely, and is preventing capital from being more widely distributed to society.
Of course, we're seeing that today. I want to ask, too, before we leave Damnation, I have one more question for you after this. I read that you're working on a third novel in the Bonnie and Clyde series. What's the premise of that one? Are they still in the same era?
No, actually, we've advanced the timeline to the 1940s, and Bonnie and Clyde are embedded in a at Hanford during the Manhattan Project. And so I don't want to give away too much of the plot in advance, but their goal is to prevent the plans for the atomic bomb from being obtained by foreign operatives, which is probably everybody listening, or maybe everybody knows, actually did in fact happen. All of the Bonnie and Clyde series are rooted in actual facts that occurred at the time. And so that's where it's at for the next one.
And our last question I want to ask where our listeners can find out more about Damnation and the other Bonnie and Clyde books and the Vampire and Cowboy books.
So there's tons of information is available at the our press's website, Pump Jack Press, so www.pumpjackpress.com. There's lots of stuff there about them. And you can just Google either of the books. There's been a great deal of reader feedback and critical review of both books in the series thus far, and so there's pretty much out there on the web now.
Such a great idea in there. There's some humor in the books, too. We shouldn't make it seem like it's all about the history of labor unions.
Absolutely.
the goal really, even though we're interested in making sure that sort of some, or trying to mitigate the collective amnesia that a lot of people seem to have about certain aspects of unions and the success of unions, the goal, first and foremost, is just to tell a really fun story, and they're entertaining and pretty humorous in places.
And appropriately enough, Labor Radio is next on KABU, but we've got to make room for them. So we've been talking with Portland-based writing couple Clark Hayes and Kathleen McFall about their new book, Bonnie and Clyde, Damnation. You can learn more about Clark and Kathleen and their books at the website pumpjackpress.com. This is Ken Jones for KABU's News in Depth.